Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Alex Chan, and I'll be your host for this evening's Asian American Tennis Show here on UR Tennis. When I'm not here, I serve as a community tennis representative for USTA Virginia Tennis. I'm responsible for tennis in Northern Virginia, the National Junior Tennis and Learning Chapters, schools, military bases, and multicultural organizations in Virginia. I also serve as staff liaison to the Virginia Tennis Diversity Committee. For more information about my organization, you can check out our website at www.virginiatennis.com. Before I introduce my guest for this evening, I would like to tell you about UR Tennis and what they are all about. UR Tennis is an advocacy group for underrepresented tennis participants. These participants would include all racial, socioeconomic class, sexual orientation, and all age-related minorities, as well as anyone else who seems to have been forgotten. The mission is to act as one voice for tennis. UR Tennis strives to bring forth programs, contests, issues, news, and philanthropy that will benefit all in tennis. They are seeking active participation from populations that have an interest in tennis but believe tennis is not interested in them. They want to expand outreach rurally, regionally, nationally, and worldly. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to continuously be talked about. And UR Tennis will pursue this idea relentlessly. All right, so tonight I'll be talking to Jesse Chung, who's a very exceptional player from Arlington, Virginia. He has experience and knowledge in many different areas of tennis, so I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about tonight. So, Jackie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. It's great to be here.
Hey, yeah, I'm glad you're on the show here. I'm sure this will be a very conversation we're going to have soon. But before we begin, I want you, if you could, introduce yourself to the audience and talk about maybe where you're from and what you're doing now.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Jesse Chung. I run a couple websites. The first is jctennis.com, and that's kind of a more personal tennis website I've been doing for a number of years now. And also the other one is tennis-bargains.com. So tennis-bargainsofanS.com. And that one's mainly geared toward getting people to play tennis and making it more affordable and accessible to people who might not have a large income. So, yeah, I've been playing tennis since I was about age 12. I play in the Mid-Atlantic, Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. Currently I'm ranked number one in the Mid-Atlantic 4.0 men's singles. I also do part-time coaching. I've coached for Arlington County Tennis as an instructor for a number of years for beginners as well as children. And I guess I do a lot of tennis traveling. I go to different parts of the world, different tournaments, different academies, and try out different tennis camps around the world. So I do a lot of tennis things throughout my life.
Okay, so you are definitely someone that has a lot of tennis experience, and definitely. I'm sure that the viewers would definitely want to listen to some of what you have to say. I guess let's first talk about your, you kind of mentioned earlier, your league play in Virginia. So I guess how long have you been playing? In this area. How long have you been playing in Virginia? And then a quick question.
Yeah, in USTA league play, I've played since I think about 2005, 2006. I actually came back from college around 2004 and picked up tennis again, and was really trying to find different means of finding an outlet, you know, to improve my game. And you know, I was looking up USTA websites, and you know, I found a few. And at first, the first ones I played at were actually in D.C. Because I live in Northern Virginia, and a lot of the D.C. ones were closer. So I started playing those and also a few in Reston area in Virginia around, like, 2005. I actually started, believe it or not, at 3L level. I didn't really know how you know, while I played tennis at that point, coming back from, you know, a few years from being on the tennis scene in the area. So I started at 3.0, and, you know, I played the first few tournaments, really enjoyed it, and I've been playing since.
Okay. So what's your favorite part about playing in the USTA leagues and tournaments?
Well, USTA leagues, also been introduced to those through Ed Tiong, who's a Northern Virginia captain a few years back. He kind of found me, got in touch, and wanted me to kind of play on a team level. So league play is kind of singles and doubles, whereas the tournaments that I first started with are being mainly myself as an individual. With the league play, I really enjoy the camaraderie and just finding teammates, same skill level, same age, a lot in the same background, Asian American tennis players, wanted to you know, get better, and we all had some common goals and, you know, common background. So I really enjoyed it, and, you know, still playing USTA League and also USTA Flex Play League at this point too.
Okay. So during an average week, how often, I guess, how many times do you play like league tennis then?
Practice, I would say, you know, 3 to 5 times a week, a couple hours here and there. With the actual league matches, usually during the season I'll play like once a week, just like an hour or two for the match. Usually it's an hour and a half if it's timed indoors.
Okay. And you mostly play singles or doubles? Do?
Yeah, for me, I'm mostly a singles player. I play 4.0 singles. As a doubles player, I probably should be in like 3.5 or something. But, yeah, mainly I ask for the singles matches. I usually play like number one and number two singles.
Okay. So earlier you mentioned that you're currently the number one on the men's singles 4.0 level in the Mid-Atlantic section. So how did that come about? What did you have to do to get to that position?
Yeah, so it was last year, 2011. I started playing my first tournament Memorial Day last May, and I played a tournament out in Tennis Center College Park, TCCP. And a friend of mine from Maryland actually told me about it, and this was actually the first Maryland tournament I've ever played. I got there. I love the facilities. It's a great indoor and outdoor area. And, you know, I got to the finals in that one. It was really tough draw. It was one of the largest draws I played in. I think it was like a 32-player draw, and had to get through like 4 or 5 rounds in just a weekend. I was happy with my performance, and, yeah, I was really surprised myself. I think I got lucky, and I got a good draw, and I was just playing a good string of matches. But, yeah, after that, my friend who introduced me to that tournament said, you know, they have one just like it in Labor Day. And I was like, you know, thinking, okay, if you know, everything turns out well, I might come back for Labor Day. And, you know, the timings of these tournaments are great because during Memorial Day, I think it was right during the French Open, and you can watch, like, the French Open that weekend on TV and play tennis with your friends, a lot of tournaments. So it's like you get tennis all around, so I thought it was just a terrific event. So I kept playing these tournaments and, yeah, racked up points for each tournament. I think you get like 400 points for winning it in these bigger events, and then like 200 for the smaller ones. And then after 3 or 4 of these tournaments, I won one, got to the finals of 2, and semifinals of 4. Through all those matches, yeah, I racked up enough points.
Okay, cool. And so do you know off the top of your head your win-loss percentage for last year?
I don't know exactly. I think it was something like 13-3.
Okay.
Can't remember exactly what it was. But, yeah, you know, that was a combination of Maryland and Virginia Mid-Atlantic tournament, yeah.
Okay. And you were number one in the 4-0 level this past year. So are you looking to stay in the 4-0 level this year, or you think you're going to be bumped up to 4-5 level?
Yeah, originally I thought I would automatically be bumped up because, you know, getting that far, that was kind of my goal was, you know, if I'm going to get moved up, I'm going to try to be number one singles for the year and at least, you know, then start playing harder than the 4-5. But the computer actually didn't move me up. I was still at 4-0 at the end of the year. But my goal is to start playing up to 4-5 starting this year, and maybe the 30 and over age brackets, which are open.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you say, okay, great. You said you played in these tournaments and leagues in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. Is that correct? All three?
Yeah, that's correct. All three of them.
Okay. And did you notice were there any difference in the way that the leagues and tournaments were run, I guess, in each state? Or was it about the same?
With the Mid-Atlantic, each state, I guess, D.C. counting as a state, has kind of its own referees and facilities. And, I've been to about, I'd say, like 8 or 9 different locations, tournaments, throughout the tri-state area. And I feel like the Virginia ones usually get, like, slightly higher caliber players. It just might be, you know, there's so many Virginia tennis players out there. But also, I feel like, you know, a lot of the organization and staff behind the Virginia tennis is very good. So there's plenty of referees out there whenever I go to a Virginia tournament. And I feel like, you know, they do a really good job of running it. It's very organized and very, you know, punctual and everything.
And so, and I know that's Virginia. So are you saying, how would you describe the Maryland and D.C. ways? I guess, are they not as punctual? are they so good? Is it not as good as Virginia?
I think Maryland does a fair job of maintaining everything. I've only been to, like, 2 in Maryland because this is the first year. I went to the Tennis College Park, which is really great. And then I also went to another one. It was an outdoor facility, the Masters Cup for Maryland. And that was the end-of-year championship. And that was pretty good, too. I think Maryland does a good job of giving you kind of like the perks, like goodies bags that I've gotten at the Maryland tournaments. They get little prizes like grips and things like that in there. I think it's pretty cool and useful. The D.C. ones are also good. They seem to, you know, be all outdoors usually for all the ones that I've been to. But I feel like the D.C. ones are probably, I would kind of say they're like kind of the easiest to the play in, but also, the cheapest, I think, sometimes too, in terms of cost sometimes. But you didn't always get the biggest draws in the D.C. bracket because I guess D.C. players are a bit fewer than the states around it.
Right. You said earlier you said the D.C. is easier to the players?
From my experience, I've just had, like, I guess, easier luck with winning D.C. tournaments. I've won, I think, 2 or 3 in my career in D.C. I enjoy it. It's a really great kind of atmosphere. I feel like there's more variance. Like, Virginia seems to have slightly tougher, like, when I play a 3-5 or 4-0 group. Like, everyone is very strong. But sometimes when I play in a D.C. league, you can have very big mixes in there. So that might just be coincidental. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. I guess I'll move on to, your coaching experiences now. So you mentioned you did some coaching in Arlington. Can you kind of elaborate on how you kind of got into that and what you do now?
Yeah, I did coaching starting about 2005. I was certified in 2006, around March, with the USPTA. So USPTA is an organization, professional tennis coaching association. So they basically certify coaches in the United States. And I actually took a clinic for coaches. It was a recreational coaches workshop in Reston, Virginia. And it was a great workshop. I spent like a day, you know, learning the drills, how to do junior tennis, all that. And it really helped me kind of get set with a lot of sponsors like Head Tennis and, you know, Nike from Formus and a lot of these sponsors, I guess, of tennis. And also get good ideas for drills and things like that. So I taught for about 3 or 4 years with Farmington Tennis, just kind of like freelance, working for the county. And now I do more kind of coaching on a, you know, side basis, kind of whoever wants to get lessons from me.
Okay. Yeah.
And
who's usually take who's your clientele, I guess, for your lessons normally?
Clientele is usually kind of beginners to intermediates. I like doing like drills kind of on an informal basis with friends and just kind of help people improve their tactics and strategy. I kind of go over stuff that beginners have kind of mastered the fundamentals like grips and stances, but are trying to like improve. So people like 3-5 moving up to 4-0, trying to make that, you know, step up. I try to help them in the space.
Okay. And are they mostly adults or children that you usually work with?
Before I worked with children as young as 5, I now work usually with young adults. So anyone from, you know, 16 to 36, I guess, is kind of like the average range. People trying to get into college, people have come back from college and, you know, are trying to pick their game back up. I kind of work with them more these days.
Okay. In your opinion, what do you think is like the toughest part about coaching tennis?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think patience is one thing. When you're coaching, it's really different than looking at it as a player. You kind of have to step out there and kind of be in their shoes. I find a lot of times my students, they just need the right encouragement and the right homework to kind of practice certain shots and focus on getting better. So my job is kind of cheerleader plus kind of drill sergeant for getting them motivated and practicing the right things.
Cool. Okay. That's good. That's a good answer. All right. Cool. Let's actually now talk about your tennis blogs. I think you mentioned a couple. The one that I know is the tennis-8.com. Is that the main blog or is that your secondary one?
Yeah. That is the kind of like my bio blog, my personal blog.
Okay.
It also has the the address is tennis-8.com, or it can also be gotten there by jctennis.com. Some people remember it easier, jctennis.com, but both lead you to the same blog.
All right. And what's on that personal blog? What do you usually post about?
Yeah, so I started that around, like, 2006. It started out as mainly, like, a Nadal blog, a fan blog. I put together a lot of things that I was following. And then I realized, like, as time grew on, I did all these tennis-related travels to Europe, to different parts of the United States, following tournaments and players, you know, ranging from, like, locally, like, Masons, all the way to, like, U.S. Open, French Open, Wimbledon. So I put together a lot of my pictures, a lot of the reviews I had, experiences, and tried to share them from this blog. And, you know, over a while I got a lot of following, a lot of people liked it, so I just kept writing. And now I keep it up as whatever I'm doing tennis-wise that's, you know, outside my kind of business website, which is the Tennis Bargains website. I update it regularly. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And okay, so now about your, you say your business website. What's on your business website that's different from your personal blog?
Yeah, so tennisbargains.com. It started just like 2 summers ago, and the reason why I started that was like I realized for me myself and a lot of my tennis friends out there, we're trying to find like good deals on tennis. You know, a lot of times people would have to come to me and say, "Oh, Jackie, you know what? I really need to find you know, tennis balls, a case of the tennis balls," and you know, I'd find them a good deal, and then like 2 weeks later, that deal was over. And then they'd come to me again, and I was, like, forwarding these mass emails to, like, you know, 20, 30 friends telling about it. And so I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if I just put it in one place, one website that, you know, all tennis people could, you know, just go to if they wanted to. And, you know, they could find, you know, the best deal on a racket, tennis balls, or lessons, or even, like, tickets for, like, U.S. Open. Because I would find tickets for, like, $17. And then they'd be gone the next day. But, you know, a lot of people would ask me, how'd you get that, you know, deal? How is that even possible? And, you know, so I started putting stuff on a website. And now we have, like, over 800,000 hits, almost 800 fans on Facebook. And it's just been incredible. Like, a lot of people just really enjoy sharing these kind of deals and coupons with each other. So that's one side thing I've been doing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and on the deals, like actually, how do you end up finding most of these deals?
Yeah, I'm kind of like a bargain shopper myself, so a lot of times these deals I go looking for, like the U.S. Open tickets. Sometimes I have what I call like spotters, like tennis friends who are kind of, you know, in the know. They're either in certain parts of the industry that, you know, get a heads up on like a coupon that's out there, or they're just alert to, you know, tennis stuff because they're tennis fans too. So I kind of compile all these things together, and on almost like a weekly basis, sometimes biweekly, I update that with like a blog posting, like, you know, Nike 20% off or something, or Sports Authority like free shipping, or, you know, whatever the
right
deal of the week is. Yeah.
Cool. And actually, what's the best deal that you found recently?
So I think one really good deal, I think it was like, it's actually still going on. It's still at the website now. It ends at the end of the month, but it's from Ticketmaster. It's like a $50 deal to buy $100 worth of Ticketmaster tickets. So I know Ticketmaster does U.S. Open tickets, and, you know, you can already save so much by, you know, using some of these promo codes I have on my website. But also, you know, saving 50% off of that is going to be, like, you know, huge. So I went ahead and I actually bought the Ticketmaster gift card, $100, and I got $50 back. So it's half price. And I actually just got that gift card today in the mail. I was so excited. You know, and all these deals I do myself so that I make sure when I tell people about it, it's a good deal. So, you know, I don't randomly, you know, put stuff on my website that I haven't tried out first. So
good. Man, so you must spend a lot of time then, right? Running these websites then?
Yeah, you know. It's kind of like my my background is IT, so kind of mixing that with my passion tennis is kind of fun. So even though it's work, it doesn't feel like it when I'm, you know, doing stuff that's tennis related. So it's not a lot of work. Actually, it doesn't feel like it.
I mean, that's good. I mean, that's one of the best things, you know, when you have a passion for it. It doesn't feel like work. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So anything you're in the IT business right now?
Yeah, I do IT. I kind of work as an IT consultant. I've done that since I left college. I'm kind of an engineer by trade. Went to Georgia Tech, so I'm kind of a, you know, IT kind of guy anyways.
So, like, how much time, I guess, does that keep you busy? I'm just kind of saying, like, you do all this stuff. You run a website, you play a lot of tennis, and you work. Like, do you find, like, you have much time to do anything else? I guess. I know some people are, like, very, you know, they're so busy. I know, I have some friends that, for example, like, the last person that I interviewed Kevin on the show, and he was telling me, like, he plays, he works, and then he plays tennis, and then he sleeps, and I'm like, wow, how do you have time for, how do you have, like, all this free time, and how do you normally, like, juggle your, all your time?
I think, like, I would say someone like you that works for USTA that, you know, tennis is your job is kind of like, I kind of make it, you know, 50% of my day, and then 50% of my day is like my regular work and stuff. So I kind of split my time kind of between those things. So when I kind of have a little bit extra time, the business end of Tennis Bargains, being able to, you know, make some money off of like either advertising or affiliate commissions and things like that, because, you know, people are clicking through my links and helping me out, I have money to kind of justify spending that time in that part-time job, you know. So when people see me spending so much time on my website, I'm telling them, okay, it's also kind of work, too, for me. So I can justify, you know, wasting so much time on tennis because it's paying the bills, too, I guess.
Yes. Cool. So earlier you mentioned on your personal blog that you sometimes blog about your travel. So I was kind of curious, like, can you tell me all the places that you've been to? Around the world. Where have you been to?
Some of my favorite places, like Barcelona. I got to go to the Sanchez Casal Academy. That was in Barcelona, and I went there for a week. It was like a teachers' conference for coaches. And I was able to, you know, kind of do 2 weeks in Europe during that time. When I was in Spain, I also went to Madrid and saw the Madrid Open Masters 1000 final between Nadal and Federer. That was really cool, too. And then the next hop I took was to Paris to see the French Open. That was, like, early May, just, like, in the first few rounds. I think it was actually late May. Yeah, it was late May. And then after that, I took the Channel to London and then got a tour of Wimbledon. Got to see center court with the roof being built the first year that it was open and kind of see the Royal Box and get the whole inside tour of the place. So it was a good tour. Yeah.
Amazing. And was that very, like, all that traveling, how expensive does that get for you?
Yeah, you know, like, with my kind of bargain hunting skills, I was able to make it kind of affordable. It was about, I think, $1,000 a week I was going at with all the hotels and airplane travel. The airplanes were, tickets were only about, like, $700 round trip at that time. I'm sure this year, with the Olympics coming up, it would be a lot more expensive.
Oh, right.
But, yeah. Yeah. And just like a quick side note, if anybody's ever, gone to Wikipedia and searches up, like, 2012 Tennis Olympics or something, they'll see a picture of Wimbledon because it's actually played at Wimbledon this year. But that picture they posted up on there was actually from my tennis photography. So,
nice.
Hundreds of people see that every day. So.
Nice. And how did you find out about that? Did you just randomly pop on Wikipedia and saw that? Or did they let you know that you... Or did you submit it yourself?
Yeah, someone actually told me that they submitted on my behalf. They saw my pictures out on Flickr, which I was really surprised because, you know, I just shoot a lot of tennis when I'm on vacation. But they picked that out, and they put it on the Tennis Olympics page for Wikipedia. So I found that out a few months ago. Yeah, and I was like, I recognize that picture. Sure enough, yeah, it was from one of my... portfolios.
Awesome. Yeah. So, and in all these travels, what has been your favorite tennis player that you met then?
One of the favorite tennis players I've met probably was locally here in Legg Mason. I got a chance to meet Tim Henman. I actually got to meet his cousin, too, who played in a local league here, too, with me. Tim's a really nice guy. Tim Henman, yep.
Did his cousin play locally here?
She did. Her name was Jenny Henman. And she actually played, in Arlington, of all places.
That's crazy.
And, she played mixed doubles with a friend of mine. And, you know, we played a few times. It was just a weird coincidence. So.
Wow. All right. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I mean, I guess it's a small world, you know, with the with tennis. I also got a chance to meet Murat Safin with a friend of mine who was like the biggest fan of Murat. And another funny story was I took a picture of the two of them, and later on, like a year later, someone posted a crop shot of Murat on his Wikipedia bio page, and it's still there. So, like anybody who wants to go to Wikipedia and search Murat Safin and then click on his main picture, that picture actually belongs to me. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy, too, when I saw it.
Did he break any rackets while you were with him?
He did, and you know what? He broke one in front of my friend, and my friend stayed to the end of the practice to ask his coach, can I have that racket that was already cracked down the middle? It was one of these Head Prestige rackets, probably like 13 ounces or something. He got the racket, and even though with a big crack on it, he was like showing it off at the local tennis park that we all hit at. And, you know, he was trying to hit with it still, but it was cool because you could feel how heavy that thing was. And he was, you know, like solid, and it belonged to Safin. It had his name etched in it. So that was a nice souvenir for him.
Oh, awesome. I guess you don't think he'll sell it, or you think he'll just keep it for himself?
Knowing how much he loves Safin, I think he's going to keep that one. Yeah.
All right. So we have maybe 10-15 minutes left. I kind of talk just a little bit about just Asian American tennis let's talk about in our area. How do you feel about Asian American tennis in the DMV area here?
I think Asian American tennis is actually really thriving, especially in the D.C. metro area. There's big groups, for example, Chinese American tennis, Filipino tennis, Thai tennis. They all have kind of their ethnic tennis groups that promotes the tennis within those cultures. And I think that's really great to get underrepresented minority groups into tennis. I know that... In this area, especially, there's a lot of Asian players in kind of the lower levels who might not belong to a club, who might not belong to a league, who are just out there on the playgrounds trying to learn the game. And I think it's really great that USTA goes out there and tries to do things like the Asian Games and tries to promote things like the Singha Asian Festival every year. You know, that's been a great social event that I volunteered at myself, and I think that promotes Asian American tennis a lot.
Good. Yeah, we definitely we're very lucky in this area. We have so many groups that promote tennis in the Asian American community. Do you think that other areas in the country are like this as well, or do you feel like this is like just a special case for our area?
I think it's kind of more of a special case. I know that a lot of people might be intimidated to get into tennis, and partly, you know, because it might cost them a lot of money to get into, and that's kind of where my Tennis Bargains website kind of starting from, and trying to get people to play more tennis. And one of the, you know, coupons I put out there is like the free 10 and under junior tennis memberships for USTA, and
right.
It helps kids, you know, get into tennis when, you know, it might not be affordable for everybody to lower to middle class families.
So you think that it's the cost factor is what hinders a lot of Asian American people from playing tennis?
I think that's one factor. And the other major factor, I think, is probably role models. I know myself growing up, I kind of had Michael Chang as kind of a role model. He was probably, you know, a few years older than me at the time, but after watching him win the French Open, it kind of inspired me to kind of get into tennis. And these days, there's Li Na, of course, there's Nishikori, as well as a lot of other players who've come in the past, like Shishpan. But I think, you know, Asian Americans need kind of to see kind of role models out there represent them in professional tennis.
Right. Okay. So So I guess so. Roland, what do you think of the opinion of our current state of Asian American players in the professional level? Do you think it looks good right now? Do you feel like we need more, a lot more, or do you think it's really low right now?
That's a good question. I think there could be more. There's obviously a lot of enthusiasm now that Li Na's won in China, and China is a big country, billions of people, and possibly, potentially hundreds of millions of students that could learn tennis because of her success. So I think that's really positive for tennis in general globally. But also guys in the United States, like Vanya King and other players who can, kind of take the footsteps of where Michael Chang kind of did 10 years, 20 years ago, I think helps as well. I think it's positive, but it could, do better.
Right. And then you mentioned Vanya King. Off the top of your head, do you know of any other Asian American tennis players that's out there right now?
Off the top of my head, I actually can't think of any. I'm sure there are a few.
But that might be a problem, though. I guess because I know you and me, we're really into tennis. Yet, I'm trying to think of it right now. I can only think of Vanya King, but I can't think of any other Asian American tennis players that's at a professional level right now.
Asian American athletes, it's sometimes kind of hard, unless you have someone make a big spark like with the Knicks, you have Lin Sanity or something.
Lin Sanity. I talked to talk a little about that with Kevin from the last interview. I guess I can ask about it too. Do you think with Jeremy Lin? Do you think that also influences other? I guess people in other sports as well. Do you think what Jeremy Lin did? Do you think that also influenced Asian American in general to play more sports?
Yeah, I think it definitely is positive for promoting Asian American sports in general. I think a lot of people I've seen even now on the basketball courts, a lot more Asian American kids are just playing basketball in general because they see the spark. Even if it's a 15-minute, amount of fame, I think that spark really gives a lot of kids the hope or the passion to go out there and try and learn it. So I think, something that could be very helpful for, tennis in general. Even like Li Na, I think, has, probably sparked a lot of young Asian girls, Asian American or not, to learn the game.
Yeah. Didn't you, I remember something, didn't you recently meet another Chinese player in College Park?
Yeah.
I believe.
I did. Yeah.
Oh,
that
was
Zhang Zhi. Zhang Zhi.
She's a year younger than me.
She actually won Auckland this year, just before the Australian Open. So she's healed from her kind of wrist injury she had last year. I met her at the City Open, which was at College Park, like you said. And this was during the summer. I think it was July or August, right during Lake Mason. And I was lucky enough to go out there and get a picture with her. And, she's really nice, really sweet lady. She was actually the first Asian woman to get into semifinals of a major, I believe. So that's a record all to herself.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. But, it was really cool meeting her, too. I actually saw Li Na on the practice courts at U.S. Open. It was two or three years ago before she had a breakthrough. And they had her coach out there. And, there were all these Asian American, tennis fans flocking around getting pictures and stuff, too. And it was a lot easier probably getting an autograph back then than it is now.
Yeah, yeah. What's the next time you're going to go up to the U.S. Open?
I go about every other year. I'm hoping to, yeah. Last year, I had tickets. I gave them away for some fans and stuff, but because of the weather, I just wasn't able to make it up there. But I try to go at least once every other year.
You go by yourself or with friends?
I actually usually go with a group of people, friends, coaches, fellow coaches, fans, you know, people just like New York. So we do, like, a little road trip up there sometimes.
Very nice.
The only, yeah, so, you know, I'd really like to visit, like, Cincinnati this year or even Miami as well, because I think you get a lot closer to the players at these big tournaments, like Federer and Nadal, without being, you know, so far away sometimes at the main stadium at Armstrong.
Right.
Or Arthur Ashe, yeah.
And actually, that's one of the reasons why I really like the Legg Mason tournament in D.C. is that, like, you're so close to the action.
Exactly.
Well, anywhere you go, you sometimes have this player just kind of walking by you as you're walking around the facility. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's like, just like us. They're walking.
Absolutely.
Right in the station.
I mean, I got, like, an autograph from James Blake a couple years ago from Shishapan. Saw Agassi the year he retired. You know, he's like those big name players. A lot of times they'll be there, like even Andy Murray, and they're like just a couple feet from you during the opening weekend. So, like, definitely tennis fans, I'd like definitely encourage them opening weekend. That's the weekend before the first main match to go out there. It's only like $10, so you can, you know, spend a day, get right up and close with like the their hitting sessions out there. And for me, even it was like a huge experience when someone took me for the first time to go see, you know, an ATP event like that. So really encourage,
cool.
Yeah, fans to go out there and see that, Legg Mason.
Nice. So, Jackie, looks like we're almost out of time for the show. I guess, do you have any final words or thoughts that you want to go over before we head off?
No, I think that was a great interview, and I appreciate you spending the time to kind of ask me these questions, and you know, really enjoy talking to you, as always.
Yeah.
And, yeah, really appreciate you sending this up. And hopefully maybe we'll come back for another chat another time.
Yeah. And hopefully now with the weather getting warmer, we can even play some tennis too. I know I haven't been playing as much tennis as I should be. But, yeah.
Yeah, we have an early summer.
It
seems like. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention it to the listeners. We actually met on court when you, I mean, it was with Etienne too. Etienne had a tennis party, and then that was the first time I met you there. We were playing doubles.
Yeah, it was, I think, the very first time. And then you started doing a lot of stuff with him, and also introduced you with, I think, Andre with your tennis, right, and had tennis. And so
yeah,
I'm really glad these blogs are actually going so well. I would have done some, you know, talk shows myself if I had more time, really. And it's a great idea.
Well, you know, Jack, let me know if you ever want to do if you want to be a co-host with me on one of your shows. We can both interview someone if you wish.
Sure, that sounds good. just let me
right,
know.
Well,
I mean, I'm available.
Oh, yeah, not that close, you know. So, yeah, I guess, Jackie, thanks again for stopping by. I guess that's it now. Thank you to viewers for listening to the show. And tune in next month. Have a good evening, everyone. Bye, Jackie.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Yeah. See you, Jackie.